word of the Lord. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. And this is the word of the Lord. The grass withers, and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You may be seated. And let's pray once again. Our Father in heaven, again we come before you and we thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness. We thank you that you are the one who speaks to us by your word and spirit. And we ask now that you would bless this reading and the preaching and the hearing of your word. We pray that even while this passage focuses attention on the godly woman, the excellent wife, that you would apply these truths in all of our lives, that we would know what it means to live a life in fear of the Lord, one of humble submission and reverence for you. Oh Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in this. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as Jonathan mentioned, we are at a time that's a favorite, a time of the year that's a favorite for most of us. We had our Thanksgiving celebrations, looking forward to Christmas celebrations. And we know that these times can bring about a whole lot of enjoyment, happiness, and fun, and just satisfaction and gratification as we spend time with our family and with friends, as we enjoy good food and visiting together, and all kinds of things. But not to be a downer here, but it can also be a time that because of sometimes misplaced or unrealistic plans or expectations and demands, there can be frustration and disappointment and even discouragement that comes along with these kind of celebrations. And sadly, this may land especially on wives and mothers, as much of this load of the celebrations and of the meals and of the festivities fall on them. And sometimes this experience can spill over into broader areas of life when there are misplaced expectations or hopes or demands. Many times, women run into trouble because of a distorted or imbalanced measure of what true beauty is. And this can affect other areas of life. Undue priority might be placed on looks and appearance, on social status or awareness of one's own success or the success of one's husband or children and their achievements. Now, this isn't a uniform problem that affects every person in the very same way all of the time, but it is a problem and a difficulty that women face and in many ways that all of us face. When we read a passage like this, there may be, and I hope that there will be, a good bit of encouragement. But at the same time, I'm aware that some wives and mothers here even are just trying to make it to the next day. They're just trying to make it through the day with overwhelming demands of time and energy. And sometimes even reading this proverb becomes overwhelming and might have the effect of bringing about discouragement or frustration. But at the same time, as I've said, that this can also bring about great encouragement as it focuses our attention on what the Lord says is important for women, for wives, and for all of us in general. This proverb about the godly woman, the excellent mother, the one who fears the Lord, can bring about a great deal of encouragement and consolation and blessing as it serves to focus our attention on what God says is important, and more importantly, as it focuses our attention on the Lord God who supplies all that is necessary to see this fulfilled in your lives. So as we look at this proverb, I want us to consider these three things. First of all, the hope of her life, the desires of her heart, and the works of her hands. This proverb will lead us in considering the hope of her life, the desires of her heart, and the works of her hands. But before I press on into these lessons, I want to mention just a couple of things to put this in context. That as we look at Proverbs 31, in many ways, and keep this in mind, in many ways, this is a composite or a collation, a collection of all the wisdom that has been taught in the Proverbs up to this point. In a sense, coming to a focal point, even as it talks about the godly woman or the excellent wife. Another thing, and this is important to keep in mind because this may also remedy that sense of being overwhelmed with what is described in this passage, but keep in mind, as you look at verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. So it's important that we keep in mind that this is talking about the wife of a king or a nobleman, and it means that this woman has extraordinary and plentiful resources that are already at hand that she is able to use in the ways described in this passage. But also, we're to be aware, as this passage directs our attention to the godly woman or the excellent wife, again, that it focuses our attention on the wisdom that has been taught in all of the Proverbs and that can apply to all of us. So first of all, in this passage, we see the hope of the beautiful woman must be placed firmly in the Lord. Jumping kind of to the end of the passage in verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. What this passage describes is this. The woman knows and understands who the Lord is and who she is in relationship to Him. She's aware of the Lord's holiness, of His righteousness, of His justice, of His goodness and grace, of His loving kindness and mercy. But she's also aware of who she is in relationship to Him. That yes, she is a woman made in the image of God, but yet fallen and broken, in need of His grace and mercy and power and restoration. And so, in view of these things, she does not try to create her own worth or her own view and structure of life to bring about joy and peace and fulfillment. She doesn't try to create her own structure or system by which she brings value to herself. But what this verse says, but she fears the Lord. She comes before the Lord and lives in relationship to the Lord in a posture of reverential submission to all of His holy will. She submits to the will of her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who has laid down His life for her and for her salvation, the one who has laid down His life for the church, His bride. And so in doing this, she has great hope in all of His promises for her life, the life of her family and the life of others. And so it's very important that you must understand and believe this to make real sense of Proverbs 31. What is described in Proverbs 31 is the outworking of a life that has been changed and is being changed by the power and grace of God. A life of a woman who fears the Lord. Remember going all the way back to the beginning of the series in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or is the beginning of wisdom. And so that sets the context from the very beginning that it's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of this God-directed life, a life that brings glory and honor to our Lord God. And so, yes, to women, to wives, to all of us, as you walk through what is described in Proverbs 31, you'll see your ongoing need for Christ. And as you continue to rest in Him, you will heartily engage in the life and way that's described here in Proverbs 31. And so at this point, as we talk about the hope of the beautiful woman, that it must be placed firmly in the Lord, I will ask these questions. You know, women, what are you hoping in? Are you simply hoping in getting the to-do list done? Are you simply hoping in getting the job done in some way? Are you simply hoping that at the end of the day, somehow, some way, you're going to please your husband and please your children? Are you hoping in some kind of social or academic status for yourself or for your children, for your husband? And as this passage says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, it should get our attention and ask the question, you know, are you hoping in your looks, in your appearance, in your features, your shape and form? And is that where you might be putting a misplaced hope or trust or confidence? Well, again, what this passage is saying is that the beautiful woman fears the Lord and hopes in Him. Here, hope is fixed on the approval, the embrace, and the protection of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is the bridegroom of His church. Also, we learn in this passage that the heart desires of the beautiful woman are informed and molded by this fear of the Lord. Once again, in verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Her focus is not on the external, as I've said. Her focus is not on the temporal, the here and now. But what her focus is on is matters of the heart, the internal, and matters that are important to God, that are important to His kingdom, the eternal. And so her focus is not on the external and temporal, but on the internal and eternal, what matters to God. So when we talk about the heart of the beautiful woman, that heart that is motivated by this fear of the Lord that's changed in this way, her heart goes out in love and care and service to her children and husband. But it's not in a mechanical way. But what this passage talks about is that as she does her husband good and not harm, that she has the concerns and the welfare of someone beside herself. when it talks about the woman providing good food and warm clothing, suitable and pleasant necessities for all of those in her home, for her children and her husband, in verse 13 it says that she does these things willingly. She doesn't do this in a begrudging way, in a way that's just a drag, but she does these things willingly. But it also says that her heart goes out in concern and care not only for her children and for her husband, but it's this wonderful, wonderful verse in verse 20 where it says that her heart goes out in concern and care for the poor and needy. Now, we could say a whole lot about that, about how we are to serve the poor and needy, but I want to bring it in really close to what that means in the life of a congregation. As we get ready for church and as we come to church and we have a lot of things on our minds and we want to see the people that we know and that we're comfortable with, there's also people that come to our church that don't know anybody, that might be lonely, that might be struggling in a lot of ways. There might be people that are even wondering whether they are going to continue to even come to church for different reasons. They might be getting ready to just chunk it all. Now, this does apply. It applies to women, to wives here, but it applies to all of us if we have concern for the poor and needy, or another way of saying that, for the least of these. That we come to church not just thinking about ourselves, but that we have a heart that goes out to others in compassion and care. And sometimes that takes effort. It means that we're intentional about doing that. Because look, I'm like everybody else. I like talking to the people that I like to talk to. I like talking to the people that I'm more comfortable talking to, that I have, you know, more common interests with. And probably I like talking to people that are going to make me feel good. I'll just go ahead and admit it. Mm-hmm. I like talking to people that are going to say nice things about me. That's a problem. But what we see, if we have this heart of compassion and mercy, we're going to be looking out around us for those that are needy in various ways. And I'm not just talking about economically needy. I'm talking about needy in relational ways, needy in being encouraged in their walk with the Lord, and in many other challenges of life. And that takes effort. It takes being intentional about that. And so again, the heart desires of the beautiful woman are informed and molded by this fear of the Lord, and it looks like this, that she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. What is in her heart comes out of her mouth. And so again, the questions are asked, how do you spend your time? Is it spent on simply looks and appeal, or again, as I've said, social achievement or social status? But what this passage gets at is the woman who fears the Lord will spend time in seeing that heart for the Lord cultivated. In very practical ways that comes about is spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer, in fellowship with other believers, and then in taking action in serving others. What is valued in one's heart will affect and determine what one does with their hands and with their mouth. And that leads us to this third main lesson, is that the work of the hands of the beautiful woman is motivated by a heart that has been changed by the fear of the Lord. In the body of this text, and I think it might be interesting to some that this entire passage is what is called an acrostic. We've read that it's the words of Lamuel, words that his mother taught him, but it's an acrostic poem, and that means that in each of these verses begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And you've seen like maybe the cross-stitch things, you know, A, B, C, describing whether it's a father or a mother or a wife. And so this is what this passage does in Proverbs 31. But when it tells us about the works of the hands of the beautiful woman, we hear these things. In verse 11, we hear that she is trustworthy or reliable. In verses 11 and 12, again, she She puts forth the effort in serving and honoring her husband. That in verses 11 and 12 and verse 23. She's a wise and hard worker. She is industrious in verse 13. She cares for her children. She's going to provide good food, warm clothing, and other necessities. In verse 16, we see that she's a good steward of finances. And then in verses 17 through 19 and verse 24, it's made clear that she's capable and even willing to work outside the home when there is a necessity and when there is opportunity. Now, once again, as we read the passage, and it talks about this woman basically starting a cottage industry and then investing in real estate and all those things, I don't want to cause the meaning of the passage to die the death of a thousand qualifications, but I don't think that every woman and wife sitting here should say, oh, I got to start this home business. I got to get kicking here and go invest in some real estate. It's not laying all that on every woman. It really isn't. As I've said, this is a wife of a king. But at the same time, what is being taught that she is industrious, that she is a good steward of finances, and she is capable and willing to work outside the home when there is necessity and opportunity. Also in verses 21 through 25, she plans ahead and is optimistic about the future. Again, we've talked about how she is gentle and kind. One commentator, Van Leeuwen, said, "The hands that grasp to produce will open wide to provide." And again, so she's not just focused on herself, but she's looking outward in service of others. She cares not only for her household, but for those who work for her and for the needy. In other words, what we see here is a woman whose life has been molded by the love of Christ. As we hear in Philippians chapter 2, as Jesus humbled himself even to the point of death and death on a cross, as he humbled himself in that way, what is taught in that passage is that as Christians, we are not only to take into account and consider our own personal interest, but also the interest of others, even when that comes by way of sacrifice. And so what we see in this passage is that this is a woman whose heart has been changed by Christ so that she does not simply consider her own interest, but also those of others. So the hope of the godly woman, the heart of the godly woman, and then the hands that have been put in motion. Now, you can hear this, and wives and mothers can hear this, and I'm fully aware that many times you're just thinking, this is a thankless job. I do my best, I work hard, and it is a thankless job. And you know, sadly, that is the experience of many. And sadly, that's what's felt, and maybe that's what's experienced. But the encouragement from this passage is this, and we need to hear this as God's word, that for the truly beautiful woman, the excellent wife, verse 28 says that her children will love and honor her. They'll rise up and call her blessed. Verses 28 and 29 say that her husband will praise her and honor her. And verses 31 get at the truth that God is glorified in her life, and she is praised. So this is what this passage teaches, and this should be an encouragement to the wives and mothers here. But as I've said, also we are to see how this applies to every Christian. But as I come to a close, I want to say this. The attention has been focused on the excellent wife or the godly woman. But as Rob introduced, and then as we confessed our faith from Ephesians chapter 5. In the Ephesians passage, we read about the duty and responsibilities of the wife, and we've heard those, and we've gone over those. But we also, and Rob brought this out, we also heard about the duties and responsibilities of the husband. And I want to say this to the husbands here, to the men here, and I need to say this to myself. As you realize the blessings that your wives are to you and the high calling to which they have been called, the question is this, and again, this is to myself, this is to future husbands as well. Are you willing to lay down your life for your wives? Are you willing to sacrifice your own ego, your own pride, your own time, your own energy to build up and encourage your wives in this high calling that the Lord has given to them? I know that this is convicting to me, but we need to hear it. We need to hear it. Do you even say thank you to your wives without saying, thank you, but I wish you kind of could have done it this way or that way? And we need to ask these questions. How do I encourage her? By my words, by my expressions, even by my mannerisms? You know, it's sad but true that I have four brothers, it's not sad and true that I have four brothers. I'm thankful for my four brothers. Let me make that clear. What is sad and true that people that know me and my four brothers refer to the row expressions or the eye cutting that we do, the row eye rolling that we do. And so sometimes it's not even just the words that we say, but the way that we cut our eyes, the way that we roll our eyes, that without saying anything, all it expresses is disapproval. And I doubt that I'm the only one that's like that. I hope I am, but I doubt that I'm the only one that's like that. So in thinking of those things, again, coming back to the husbands, do you encourage your wives? Again, are you willing to lay down your life for your wives, as we have heard of their high calling of the wives and mothers here? Do you pray for her in this regard? Do you challenge her to a life of blessing as she lives in the presence of the Lord? And then finally, to wives, to mothers, to all of us, as we read in our confession of faith, again, as we live the Christian life, again, as wives and mothers, as husbands, as fathers, as single people, as little children here. Take heart in this. Take heart in what we heard in Ephesians 5, that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So as we've heard in this passage concerning the hope of the excellent wife, the godly woman, the heart of that woman, and then the hands of that woman, we see that our hope is in Christ, the one who has laid down his life for us. And so we are to run to the embrace of Christ, our bridegroom, our Savior and King. And as we run to him, knowing that he has laid down his life for us and that he will provide all that we have, we engage in living the life that he has called us to live for his glory and for the good of his church and for the extension of his kingdom. So I pray that the Lord would bless this passage and the hearing of his word to us for his glory. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again, we come before you and we thank you that it is you that speaks to us by your word and spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would apply these truths in our lives. Lord, we pray for our wives. We pray for the mothers in this congregation. We pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them, that they would see and rejoice in the high calling that you have given to them. We pray that you would work in the lives of the husbands and fathers here as well, that we would love our wives as Christ has loved the church. We pray that you would apply these truths in all those that have heard here, that have heard this, whether married or not. We pray all this for your glory. In Jesus' name.